So that was a perfect setup, thank you, for another study that I'll be speaking about from the Healthy Youth Development Prevention Research Center at the University of Minnesota. And it really was based on some of the discrepancies we've been having in our research around teen pregnancy prevention, and specifically around adolescents reporting that they're pregnant. And I was really struck by the dog comment. One, because it's funny, and I wonder what, you know, I have a new puppy in the home. Did anyone else in my family notice that? I certainly have. But the other part is that with teen pregnancy, one of the issues that sort of baffles us as people who work directly in the field and directly with young people is, how is it that you don't know that you're pregnant, or that you were pregnant, or that you were pregnant and you're no longer pregnant, and what happened in between there, and why do we have discrepancy upon reporting about pregnancy? This research is on adolescents, and I'm not an adult reproductive health expert. My assistant is an adolescent reproductive health. I would imagine that this would be mirrored in adult women as well. So I would like to say that because I don't like to hang it too much on our adolescents. I want to thank my colleagues here, and especially one of our young colleagues here, Danielle Levassar, who has now moved on using this research to apply for medical school, and waha, she's going to be an enlightened adolescent health specialist in a medical environment. I have no disclosures. And again, ditto to the feelings of the research in terms of, well, it's funded by the Prevention Research Center and the Centers for Disease Control. Our outcomes don't necessarily reflect their beliefs. So our project purpose, as I already mentioned, was to determine both the acceptability and feasibility of urine pregnancy testing in community-based settings. And we also wanted to know ways that adolescents wanted to find out about their urine pregnancy test results. So, why did we want to know this? I gave a little bit of introduction to this. The Prevention Research Center has been working for over 15 years, on adolescent pregnancy prevention issues. And specifically, we like to work in the areas of high-risk youth who we are trying to intervene with a youth development focus, which I can tell you more about if you have questions. So obviously, pregnancy is commonly assessed via self-report. I think we're pretty familiar with those kinds of questions. Are you pregnant now, within the last 3 months, those kinds of things. But we were really having trouble with our adolescents not reporting accurately or consistently over time. So when we asked, this is a long-term study that we were that this is embedded in, and we were asking in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, and then thereon for up to 2 years. We also wanted to know if incorporating biomarkers such as UPT has the potential to reduce bias and error in detecting pregnancy. And unfortunately, it's a little messed up here, but we had very limited, there seems to be very limited past research about UPT pregnancy testing in community settings. So while we've seen this in other non-traditional settings with the kinds of tests that you would do for an STI or STD, we haven't seen the same community-based testing in the area of UPT or unit pregnancy. So our project design, as I already mentioned, this was an embedded study. It involved women who were 16 to 20 years. We had it was just a small pilot study. And when they entered our original study, our larger intervention work, they were minors. So these are young people who are now aging as we follow them. All the participants at time of entry were at high risk for unintended pregnancy. And they constituted, as I said, a subset of young people enrolled in a prevention intervention study. And by the very nature that they're giving urine pregnancy testing, they were all female. And then this was a semi-structured qualitative interview. And individuals were interviewed, and we were again addressing their comfort with urine pregnancy testing in various community locations, and also, again, their preferences for receiving UPT results. So to give you an idea of our qualitative interview content, when we were asking the young people about their like and dislike about this idea, we wanted to know the reasons why they might do a community-based urine pregnancy test and why they would not. So two-sided discussion about that. And we were very interested in the locations that they believe that other young people would actually go about accepting a pregnancy test. And we were asking about clinic. Of course, that's a very logical location that a lot of us are aware of. We also asked about school. In Minnesota, we have a lot of school-based clinics in our urban communities. And then we were asking more of the less traditional locations, like a coffee shop, fast food location, home, or library. And by library, we were not talking about a school library, but a public library. And again, in the urban locations of the metro area of Minneapolis and St. Paul, we have a very robust library system, some of which cater specifically to adolescents. And then we also wanted to know about the results. When did they want to hear the results? By when? Did they want to hear by phone, et cetera? And what resources, if any, did they want when someone did get in contact with them regarding the results of their pregnancy test? So again, as I said, this is a small study. We had 19 of 28 participants, that's 68%, provide a urine pregnancy test sample. We used a rapid urine pregnancy test that was ordered from Canada, but cheaper. and they're the same test. And we ran those tests actually outside of the clinic location, or excuse me, the community location. We did not sit with the young person and run the test, just to be clear. So the interviews were recorded, they were transcribed, and then they were content analyzed. To give you a clear understanding of what this is showing you, when we are asking the young people, we wanted to know about their comfort level of the participants in providing this UPT, this biomarker, at various community locations. The light blue measure here was reasons why they would feel comfortable. And the darker blue, which almost looks like a maroon on this slide, was reasons why they might feel uncomfortable. So in the clinic location where we're familiar, and it seems like that seems a normal place to give a urine test, they said it was clean, it was familiar, and it was professional. And the reason that they wouldn't want to do a test there was the staff. Okay? And again, we think, put our adolescent hats on and think, they might know me, they're going to talk about me later on. All the kinds of things that we're aware that adolescents have in their view about sexuality and how that interacts with people who know them or they perceive they don't know. The second one is at the home, and this is kind of interesting again. When we asked why they might be interested in doing it at the home, it was because it was familiar or it was a private place. It would be easy to use the bathroom. And then why they didn't want to do it at home was parents. Parents might know. Public library was a very interesting one. So if they felt that somebody could be comfortable, the main reason that some person might be comfortable was that people in a library are minding their own business. And it's kind of the last place you would think that there is some kind of biomarker thing going on. On the opposite of that, though, they felt like there's a lot of people in the library. And in particular, they would comment on the bathroom itself, like, you're just supposed to go in and go out. There's nothing supposed to be else happening in there. Okay. When we looked at schools, again, nurses' offices, often this is sort of somewhat contradictory. Nurses' offices often feel safe. It's a normal place to go for any kind of health care, and we have a full spectrum of health care that's provided in our school-based clinics. So they wouldn't necessarily be going there for sexual health issues. But the big drawback that over about 10 of our participants were talking about was gossip. And again, for those of you familiar with this work, that is often the challenge of doing work in adolescent health clinics, because young people perceive that if you go in that clinic, regardless of the wide range of services that it may in fact offer, they often perceive that you're going there because you're sexually active and she's pregnant. And in our qualitative work, a lot of young people say, oh, if she's in there, it's because she's pregnant. And then we talked about coffee shops. Now, if you look again, people, our sample says that a coffee shop is very private. People, again, wouldn't be expecting you to be there, but we had a lot less of our young people saying that they would be comfortable doing it there. And a lot of them said it's a coffee shop in terms of not being comfortable. Like, why would you do that there? It just seems weird. And then the last one was a fast food restaurant. And these are some of the common fast food restaurants that you can imagine that young people frequent. And one of the reasons that they were very comfortable in this was that it was just busy. Everybody's just kind of coming and going, and who would think you were doing that in there? And then some of them would say, well, it's kind of a place to eat, so it's kind of nasty to be doing that there. But interestingly enough, all the participants who provided a urine sample, that's 68% of those who were in this study, did so at a fast food restaurant, coffee shop, or library. So again, if you look back, they can name reasons why they might not want to do that, but I think, more importantly, that they were willing to do it and did so here. And again, adolescents are often contradictory. They often contradict themselves, but that's part of our challenge in working in this field. Participants said that teens would be willing to provide urine samples if given a clear explanation why the sample was needed. And in particular, young people told us about they wanted to do this to help research, and a very altruistic reasoning for this. We did provide an incentive for this, but often it was more of a compelling reason for altruistic reason than just the $5 that we gave them to do this. A couple other results: the context context and privacy were paramount in whether teens would participate in this. So this issue about how private they were feeling is really important. In terms of finding out whether about the results, they said that they really wanted to learn about their results by phone or in person mostly, and that's specifically if it were a positive test. And then finally, in terms of if the test was negative or positive, one of the things that I found that we found in our work is that those two words were very confusing. So it's really important that if we're giving results, that we talk about and give results in terms of not pregnant or pregnant. So at the time that you took this test, the results are that you are not pregnant or you're pregnant. And I happen to be the one who did give the results. And the other end of the phone was often very confusing to me because the young person would be silent. I said, well, this time, you know, we learned from doing it wrong, let's say. I learned from doing it wrong. At this, so your pregnancy test is negative. I was pregnant. So they were interpreting that word as negative, as bad, like I'm calling you with bad results, with bad news. So there was much learning in that, which I am now passing on. So when our tests, were there positive results, participants suggested in terms of what they wanted when they did get a positive result. They wanted us to provide resources for pregnancy options and for clinic referrals. So where should they go? What should they do? And with negative test results, some participants, but not all, suggested providing birth control information. In terms of, again, sharing some of these results, what our young people reported was that if it were a positive result, 100% of them believed that it would be fine to be told that result in person. If it were a negative result, again, 100% of them reported that it would be fine to tell them in person. Going back down, you can see things like our more traditional methods of sending a letter. Only a third of them endorsed that would be a good way to tell them that they had a positive pregnancy test. Or on the flip side, only about half of them said, or half of them said that that was a good way to tell them about their negative test result. So again, I think it speaks to us using the current technology. Here we were talking about phone and Facebook and things like that. We didn't ask about Twitter. I think, you know, you can send an in message in Twitter, and if we were doing this year right now, I think I would have asked about Twitter. And just thinking about myself as the one who was giving the results, I would have been interested to be tweeting, "I'm pregnant." So our conclusion is that community-based urine pregnancy testing is both feasible and acceptable among adolescent females at high risk for unintended pregnancy. This is even in light of the fact that while they didn't necessarily endorse this, they were willing to do it. And they would tell us that their friends would do it, which is also often a good marker for what people really will do. And then incorporating biomarker in community-based interventions is probably a promising way to improve pregnancy measurement and potentially prevention efforts. And by that, I really think that this may be a wake-up call for some of them. It was an on-the-spot wake-up call to think about, could they be pregnant at this time? So a teachable moment, we might call that. And then we really feel like, since this was a small pilot study, that further larger studies are definitely